Actually, I got the idea because the ladies' class had asked me a question, and I saw I had that already written out, and I looked at it, and I said, you know what, I can put this together as a sermon, and it'll be something that'll be beneficial to everybody, but at the same time, I don't have to probably do as much as if I try continuing the Psalms 119, because I definitely can't leave singing right now. So I'm going to put that one off until my voice comes back. excuse me. You will have to put up with interruptions every once in a while. Reading some parts of the New Testament often becomes difficult because people are talked about, people are named, but like most countries and most places, people share similar names. We used to tease about a congregation we used to be up in upstate New York. We always had pairs of names. We had two Days, and we had two this and two that, and we always had pairs of names in there. And you had to make sure you said which one you were talking about, because it got confusing. And keeping it straight, especially when you're trying to do the New Testament, and you're trying to keep straight which Mary are they talking about, sometimes you feel like you're doing a logic puzzle, trying to figure out, okay, this one connects to this one, that connects to that one, then this one has to be which Mary is talked about. In our society, what we do to solve the problem of common names is that we add out a surname that basically most of the time tells us where we came from or who we came from way back in some lineage. And oftentimes we use two names to try to distinguish that particular person. Even then we sometimes have a lot of John Smiths. And that becomes difficult. In biblical days, people distinguished one another by several different ways. They could distinguish them by their father's name or by the location from which they originated or by their occupation. In fact, we can find this with Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26 in verse 71, and most of what we're going to look at is we're just basically going to be looking at a lot of passages to look at the names that are mentioned there today. Luke 26, verse 71, and he'd gone out to the gateway, and another servant girl saw him there and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Actually, Jesus was not an uncommon name in those days, because that actually is a form of the name Joshua. Since Joshua is a famous character in history, a lot of people named their kids Joshua. And so there were a lot of Jesuses running around. Which one were they talking about? This is Jesus of Nazareth, distinguishing him based on where he was from. Take a look at Luke chapter 8. Luke 8 and verse 28. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Here he's called Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. Well, that distinguishes which Jesus based on who his father was. Or take a look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are his sisters not here with us? And they took offense at him. Here he is referred to as a carpenter, or the carpenter's son. In other words, we're distinguishing him by what he was trained to do. That was his occupation. People's names today, you find that still. You know, some people are called Miller or Smith. It comes back, and when you go back in history, it's based on what a person did. They did the same thing in biblical days. And in Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21, verse 11, And the multitudes were saying, is this the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee? Here he's called the prophet Jesus. They're distinguishing him based on what he currently does, his current occupation, from their viewpoint. He's a prophet, so therefore he's the prophet Jesus. So what we see, that's the way a lot of people distinguish people. And so now we can go through and look at the Bible and look at some of the people that are there. One of the ones that caused people difficulties is John. There are actually two Johns mentioned in the Bible. One is generally called John the Baptist. In other words, we're distinguishing him by what he did. He baptized people. That made him kind of unique, so they called him John the Baptist. For instance, in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 11. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And you can actually see in verse 1, now in the days of John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. So John the Baptist came preaching, and he's called a Baptist because that's what he did. He baptized people. But there was another John, and he's found in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21. It says, and going from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. This John is John the son of Zebedee. Or sometimes he's called John the brother of James. By naming a family relationship, we distinguish which John we're talking about. Those two brothers became then apostles of Jesus, which is where he calls them, and is mentioned again in Matthew 10, and in verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. So John, there's two Johns. John the Baptist, that's what he was doing, but there's another John, is John the son of Zebedee. It is John the son of Zebedee who wrote the books of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. We can determine that John wrote the book of John because he's always referring to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. But he never really gives his name. If you match events between the various Gospels, you know, John doesn't give his name. The other Gospel writers do mention John sometimes. And when you start matching up the names, you realize, well, the one who's missing is John. And that's one of the reasons why we know it was John who wrote it. It's also stated by the author of the book. By history, we know it was John who wrote this book, but also in John 21. John 21, verse 24, he states at the very end, he said, this is the disciple who bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. The one that he kept calling the disciple whom Jesus loved, he says, this is the disciple who wrote this book. It's basically what he's saying at the end here. So he's making it plain that I'm the one who wrote this. And actually, it looks like it was a very common practice in those days, especially among Christian writers, that they basically didn't write, when they penned books, especially when they were involved in events, they didn't oftentimes mention themselves. They didn't name themselves. And most people guess it's probably as seen as an act of humility. So if you go through like Matthew's account, Matthew's there, but he really doesn't name himself. You find out Matthew's names from the other Gospels. And for John doesn't really name himself, but you find out John's name from the other Gospels. Now, 1 John is written as an eyewitness account of Jesus. If you look at 1 John chapter 1, John chapter 1, starting with verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld and our hands held concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness, and proclaim to you the eternal life that is with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. That introduction is something that people take notice of, because notice he talks about the word of life. That's something John talks about in John. At the very beginning. In fact, you start looking at the book of John and you start reading it. You read 1 John, you say, boy, they read similar in style of writing. And so people understand that 1 John was written by John. After all, he did say it was an eyewitness account, so he's talking about being an apostle. The 2nd and 3rd John also are written in the same style, but there the author calls himself the elder. One of the things we know about John, if you look at both the both books, 2nd and 3rd John, at the beginning it says the elder too. One of the things we do know about John is that later on in life he was, at least by what we have written from other writings, that he was an elder in Ephesus for quite a bit of his life. So that makes sense, and if he wrote a book and he mentions that he is the elder. The book of Revelation just plainly comes out right and says that it was written by John. In Revelation 1 verse 9, it says, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and the kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And so he just names it right out. I, John. Well, why didn't he give some other distinguishing mark about, like, the son of Zebedee or something like that? Because by this time that it was written, John the Baptist was dead. There's no need to distinguish which John is being talked about, because we know. And there's only one other John left. And so if you just mention that with John, that's sufficient. Now there's several J's in the Bible. There's James, which we already introduced to. He's the brother of John, the son of Zebedee, which we saw in Matthew 4, verse 21. But there's another James as well. In Matthew 10, go back to there. Matthew chapter 10. In verse 2, it mentions James, the son of Zebedee. But notice verse 3, it says, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax gatherer, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. So we have another James. We have two apostles who are named the same name. We have James the son of Zebedee and James the son of Alphaeus. That could make things a little difficult, trying to distinguish them. So you usually find when they're mentioned that somebody tries to make sure that we distinguish which James we're talking about. This James, the son of Alphaeus, his mother's name we know is Mary. Take a look at Mark chapter 15. Mark 15, and verse 40. And there were some women looking on from a distance, among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, we'll talk about that in just a moment, and Joseph, and Salome. He's called James the Less in this passage, probably distinguishing James, the son of Zebedee, who was older than he was. That was one of the common ways back then to refer to somebody. When you have two James, you know, big James and little James, that might talk about height. or the older James and the younger James. What they did was they said, well, James the less, the younger one. And you find that also even into the medieval days, they used to do that. Add on the less to talk, say, this is the younger one. My mother's family history, there was, I forgot which name they did. I think it was James. But they had a James the older, James the middle, and James the less. Why some guy would name three of his sons James, cannot figure out. But anyway, that's a common practice. But that way distinguishes him from James, the son of Zebedee. So when you see James the less, or James, the brother of Joseph, that's the same James. James, the son of Alphaeus. So now we know his dad's name and we know his mom's name. There's also another James. Is mentioned in Luke 6 and verse 16. The list of the apostles again, but it says Judas the son of James and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. There are two Judases also in the apostles. One of the Judases' father's name was James. So among the disciples we have two James, and one of the other disciples' name was Judas. His dad was named was James as well. It's also mentioned in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And the Greek actually is vague. By the way, that Judas is there, he also has other names. He's also known as Livius and Thaddeus, depending on which list you're looking at. So he has actually three names he goes by. But the Greek in both this passage and the one in Acts is actually kind of vague about the relationship between James and Judas. Joseph is another form of the word Judas. Not Joseph, but you've got Judas here. The way it's worded is actually vague. It doesn't actually say son of. It more says it's related, but it doesn't say how they're related. And some argue that actually it should be translated Judas, the brother of James. And thus he would be also son of Alphaeus and be related to James. And they argue then the Jose that's mentioned is the other brother. So they're basically arguing there's several brothers among the disciples. Is one of the arguments going on. Can't prove that. But I just want to make sure you understand that's where some people talk about it, because, like I said, the Greek is vague at that point. It doesn't actually say son of. It just says related to. Now, James, the son of Joseph, is another James in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And verse 55. Matthew 13, verse 55. It says, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? So there's a James, the son of Joseph. And he's half-brother to Jesus. He's also mentioned in Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. And I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So this is James, the son of Joseph. And he was half-brother to Jesus, so therefore he was a brother to the Lord. And notice that he also had a brother named Judas, who We'll get to Judas here later. Now, it's either James the son of Alphaeus or James the son of Joseph who wrote our book of James. The subject's been heavily debated over the years because the book of James mentions that he's the brother of Judas, and the book of Jude, which is a form of the name Judas, mentions he's the brother of James. But depending on how you look at the relationships, like I said, there's one possibility in that wording is that it's supposed to be James, the brother of Judas. There's a pair of brothers, James and Judas. But we know the Lord also had a James and a Judas who were brothers in his family. Now, if you say it's Judas the son of James, then that throws that one out, and the only one left is the Lord's brothers. But if you leave the other one in, you got hotly contested. And that's where a lot of the arguments come in from, is trying to figure out which one of these two sets of James and Jude are we talking about. And we're not going to solve that tonight. I don't have the voice for it. Nor the knowledge, for that matter. So let's look at Judas, or Jude. The name Jude is actually just another way of pronouncing Judas, kind of a shortened form. It's like, my name is Jeffrey. Most of them call me Jeff, just shorten it down. Jude is just a short form of Judas. Judas Iscariot is probably the most famous Judas, and one that most people think of when they think of Judas. And what that name actually means in Greek is that he was Judas from Chariot, is what it means. Iscariot means from Chariot. That's a small town in Judah. Take a look at Matthew 10 again in the list of disciples. Matthew 10, verse 4. So Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. This is the Judas who betrayed Jesus, obviously, just said that. Also we know about him is that his father's name was Simon. And so sometimes that's mentioned to make sure we know which Judas we're talking about. John makes sure we know that every time he mentions Judas, he always mentions he's son of Simon. Take a look at John 13. John 13 and verse 26. And Jesus therefore answered, that is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took it and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Notice that the Iscariot here is put with Simon's name. So where does his dad live? He lives in Chariot also. And so Simon Chariot is actually the name. So they're both his father and his son come from the same city. But he's the son of Simon. Now another one of the apostles also we already named was Judas. Take a look at John 14 verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then was to happen to you that we were going to disclose to yourself to us and not to the world? We got two Judases among the apostles. How do we distinguish them? Well, they always called Judas Iscariot, or Judas the son of Simon Iscariot, or Judas Iscariot son of Simon. Make sure that we know which Judas we're talking about. Well, how about the other Judas? Well, he's not the bad guy. The Judas, the one that's not the bad guy. Not the one from Iscariot is a way to distinguish him. One way it is done. He is also known as Levius or Thaddeus. Take a look at Matt. We're going to look at several verses here. Matthew 10, verse 3. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax gatherer, Simon, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. If you go over to Mark chapter 3, Mark 3, verse 18, it says, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot. And then over in Luke chapter 6, verse 16, Judas the son of James and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So depending on where you're finding it or depending on the translation, you'll find either Levius or Thaddeus or the Judas the son of James, depending on which one you're talking about. So his father or brother, depending on the relationship there, because we talked about that earlier, was James. And distinguishes him from the Judas Iscariot. Or you can talk about he probably took on the... One of the guesses of scholars is Thaddeus is probably a nickname. And he probably took that on to make himself distinguished from Judas Iscariot because of his reputation. He didn't want to be known as Judas the Apostle. And that's a possibility anyway. So the things wouldn't get confused. Okay, so one of the apostles were named Judas. Two of the apostles were named Judas. But also one of the Lord's half-brothers, we already mentioned, was named Judas. That's in Matthew 13:55. We already read that. There's also a Judas of Galilee in Acts chapter 5, verse 37. Totally different Judas. Acts 5 and verse 37. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. Here was a guy who led a rebellion. How do we distinguish him from Judas Iscariot and Judas the son of James, or Thaddeus? But he's Judas of Galilee. He's the one that came from the Galilee region. There's another Judas that Paul stayed with in Acts 9 and verse 11. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. Behold, he is praying. The place where Paul stayed in Damascus was with a Judas who lived in that town. And one that a lot of people forget is in Acts chapter 15. There's yet another Judas. Acts 15, and in verse 22... says, and it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church to choose men from among those to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Judas called Barnabas, Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Barnabas' other name was Judas. Barsabas. Okay, Barsabas. And that means son of Sabbath, or Sabbath. So there's Barnabas' given name is Judas, son of Sabbath, is what that passage is saying. We know him by his nickname, because Barnabas means son of encouragement. That's just a nickname. But his given name was Judas, son of Sabbath. So there's yet another Judas. Next one we're going to look at, Simon. Quite a few Simons in the Bible. The most famous is the son of Jonah, who got the nickname Peter, which means rock, by the Lord. Or sometimes it's called Cephas, which is the Aramaic version of the word for rock. And he's found in Matthew 4:18. Well, I won't take time to read all these. Matthew 16, verse 17, and John 1, verse 42. This Peter, this Simon, had a brother named Andrew. So sometimes you see him referred to as Simon, the brother of Andrew. Or as Simon, the son of Jonah. Or Simon bar Jonah. Bar is the son of. So all those, they're all referring to the same person. Or is referred to by his nickname, Peter or Cephas. Yet there's another Simon. Here we go again. In the disciples, in the apostles, there are two Simons. There's a reason why Peter is almost always called Peter. Because there was another disciple, also known as Simon. And he's called Simon the Canaanite or Simon the Zealot. Canaanite actually means zealot. Someone who's zealot. Now, there is a mistranslation in the King James Version. It's only in the King James, but some of the other translations picked it up. In Matthew 10, verse 4, the King James Version actually made a mistake and they added an extra A in it. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 4, it says, Simon the Zealot, you might have a little footnote, and in that footnote it will say, well, where's mine? Mine says Kenyan. But in the Greek, it's Simon the Canaanite. Canaan is spelled with two N's, A's. In the Greek, this one is only spelled with one. And this one means zeal. This word, Canaan, means zeal. This is the zealot. So sometimes you find some mistranslations as well in there. Zealot refers to a sect of the Jews who advocated the violent overthrow of the Roman government. This was your rebel clan who was trying to do it by violence. And it's interesting. One of Jesus' disciples came from that. Got pulled out from that group. One of Jesus' half-brothers is also named Simon. Imagine in Matthew 13, verse 55. So we got Peter, whose name is Simon, another apostle whose name is Simon, the Lord's brother, whose name is Simon. And we find it mentioned in Matthew 26, in verse 6, Matthew 26, verse 6, it says, when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. So there's a Simon who lived in Bethany whose nickname was Simon the leper because that was what he was. And that's how people remembered him. And the Lord had a meal at that house. He's different from another place where Jesus had a meal. And that's in Luke chapter 7. Luke 7 verse 40. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say to you, teacher, this is Simon the Pharisee, where Jesus had a meal. There's another Simon that's also mentioned in Jesus' life. It's in Matthew 27. Right at the end of his life, Matthew 27, verse 32, and they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, to whom they pressed into the service to bear his cross. So Simon of Cyrene is yet another Simon, and he's the one who bore Jesus' cross. From Mark 15, verse 21, we also find out this Simon had two boys. named Alexander Rufus. And some people speculate, wondering if that Alexander has to do with the one that Paul talks about later. Don't know. But he did have two boys named Alexander and Rufus. There's another Simon that we've already met. Judas's father, Judas Iscariot's father, was named Simon. There's another one that a lot of people remember. That's in Acts chapter 8 and verse 9. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. Now there was a certain man named Simon who was formerly practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. So we remember Simon the sorcerer, because that's what he used to practice. And there's one more in Acts chapter 9, verse 43. Another place where Peter stays at. Acts chapter 9, verse 43. And it came about that he stayed many days in Joppa with a certain tanner named Simon. So we got Simon the tanner based on his occupation. Lots of Simons. It's been lasting longer than I thought it would. What I want to hit, though, I'm going to skip Philip. I have Philip down, too, but in order to get that one in, I'm going to skip that one. Let's talk about Mary. Obviously, the most famous Mary is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she's the wife of Joseph. So you find her referred to the same way. Mary the mother of Jesus, or Mary the wife of Joseph, or Mary the carpenter's wife, all referring to the same Mary. One example of that is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. And to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. There's another Mary. An example is in Matthew chapter 27, verse 56. Matthew 27, verse 56. Among whom was Mary Magdalene, along with Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. So the Mary Magdalene is another Mary. The name can also be read Mary of Magdala. It's just saying which town she's from. She's from Magdala. So that's the way they were distinguishing her from Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary who comes from Magdala. She's the one that had the seven demons removed from her. It's in Luke chapter 6, verse 8. And the wrong verse down there. I'll have to go find that one now. That one I have the wrong reference to. I'm okay with that one again. Let's go. But she is the one that had the seven demons removed from her. She is also the first who saw Jesus rise from the grave. That's in John chapter 20, in verse 1. John 20, verse 1, it says, "Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and saw the stone was already taken away from the tomb." Jumping down to verse 11, but Mary, that's still the same Mary Magdalene, was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. So she was the first to see Jesus alive. There's another Mary that was already mentioned, and that's Mary, who's the wife of Clopas. And she's the mother of James the Less, the apostle, and Joseph. Matthew 27, verse 56. So among whom was Mary Magdalene, along with Mary the mother of James, that's James the Less, and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. So when you talk about the ladies who went to the tomb, it was Mary, 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 and another lady. Which you have to work out, but I think if I remember right, her name's Salome. But so you get three Marys and a Salome that went to the tomb. Also, Mark 15, verse 40. Mark 15, verse 40. And there was also some women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and Joseph, which is another name for Joseph. I got it wrong. I said Jesus earlier. It's Joseph. And Salome. Salome. So there you get the other lady's name. But there's also mention of another Mary. That's mentioned in Matthew 28 and verse 1. Matthew 28 and verse 1. It says, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. We're not exactly sure who that one is. The other Mary might be Mary the mother of Jesus, probably not. It could be Mary, the mother of James the Less. That's more likely. Or it could be that there's yet another Mary who doesn't have anything else to distinguish her by, so they called her the other Mary. Like everybody keeps teasing about my other brother, Daryl. There's also a Mary who's the sister of Lazarus and Martha that lived in Bethany. We find that in Luke chapter 10, 38 and 39, and John 11, verse 1. She's also the Mary who anointed Jesus' feet, as mentioned in John 11, verse 2. If you go over to Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, we're introduced to yet another Mary, and she's the other Mary. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was called Mark. I should add that John to my list of Johns, because there's John Mark. There's three Johns. Who were gathered together and were praying. So John Mark's mother's name was Mary also. And also there was a woman named Mary who lived in Rome. And that's mentioned in Romans chapter 16, verse 6. Romans 16, verse 6. Greet Mary, who worked hard for you. So there was a Mary in Rome. And so she would be Mary of Rome. That's the only thing we know about her. It's not an exhaustive list. But we have we work that out and we look through it and realize that everyone's being distinguished. We're not often left to guess which one we're talking about. But if you look for the traits, look for the clues, you can figure out who's being talked about in various passages. Thought it'd be useful, something interesting, a little bit different, and something that wouldn't strain my voice quite so bad. So I hope it was useful to you, but we'd like to offer an opportunity tonight. If there's anyone here who is not a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there is anyone who is a child of God, we'd like the prayers of brethren on the behalf. Why don't you come forward and stand and sing the song for you.